And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado, at a time in which faith, family, and freedom are slowly dissipating in the Western world. Steve Vaughn also with me today. And it turns out that we have a command in Scripture to keep the faith, to strive for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. And that's our objective as part of this radio program, and certainly that we pass on the faith and we seek God's mercy upon us. Certainly we need to be in a humble position. I think if anything, the Western world is called to a humility before God, because the first will be last and the last will be first. That was one of the statements I made to a assembly of pastors and leaders in a foreign country recently. It turns out that, yes, so much of South America, so much of Africa and Asia have taken the place of the Western world, and praise the Lord, the first will be last and last will be first. There's almost nothing that delights me more than that God's sovereign will brings about a wonderful salvation that reaches every tribe and nations, and the idea that the first will be last and last will be first keeps us all in a humble position, whether Jew or Gentile. And it seems that's the pride of the Western world that has destroyed the Western world. And so as those Christians remaining in the Western world, I think the best and most important admonition is that we humble ourselves before Almighty God and realize that we need the salvation of God to come upon us and our poor children and our poor families in an age in which there is massive apostasy going on in Europe and America, and church attendance rates are approaching single-digit percentages. Well, Steve, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
It turns out that things are changing in Germany. What do you think is the most popular child's name in Berlin today?
Let's see. It's got to be either Wilhelm, Helga, or
okay.
Kevin.
Okay.
you have a huge influence over
wrong.
There.
Yeah, Kevin turns out to be an Irish name.
Oh, okay.
So you're not doing well there.
Okay. So Gerhard?
It turns out it's not Wilhart, and it's not Gertrude, and it's not Rottenmeier. It turns out the most popular child's name in Berlin today is Mohammed.
Mohammed?
Mohammed, yes.
That doesn't sound very German.
No, it doesn't, does it? It sounds a little more maybe Saudi Arabia-ish.
Yeah. Muslim, Islamic.
Well, that's of course because the Muslim population is burgeoning in Europe, and the birth rate amongst those who live in Europe who come from Islamic nations is still much higher, much, much higher than the burned out European Western world. And it's interesting that the Islamic birth rate is imploding in Iran, Turkey, Qatar, and Libya. And yet the average Muslim woman in Europe is expected to have 2.6 children, a full child more than the average non-Muslim woman in Europe. She's at 1.6 children. The average Muslim woman in Europe is expected to have 2.6 children. That's significantly higher than the birth imploding Western world. Secularism is creeping into Iran, Turkey, and Libya with all the birth control pills. So certainly what's going on in all the world is a birth implosion. But Islam is more successful in creeping into Europe, and Islam apparently is harder core in Europe than it is in Iran, Turkey, and Libya. That seems to be what's happening, since the birth rate of those that immigrate into Europe is still fairly strong in comparison to the birth rate of Iran, Turkey, and Libya. So, you know, the Christian faith is not doing well in Europe, and it appears that the Islamic population will continue to grow by immigration and also by the larger birth rate amongst Islamic women.
Now, you said that it was a full child more, so that means then the average over there is, what, 1.6, 1.8? But it takes, in industrialized nations, somewhere around 2.1, 2.13, just as replacement rate. So they're not even at replacement rate in these European countries. So they have got to be their own population is decreasing rapidly, while the Muslim population is growing rapidly, that Europe's going to be a Muslim area soon.
You know, throughout the history of the world, we've found that nations that birth implode are nations that inevitably will collapse or become ignominious and of very little import in terms of the world politics. And that's what's going on in Korea, Japan, China, America, the Western world. It's not happening in Africa. Most of sub-Saharan Africa is still upwards of 4, 5, 6 children per family. And so I think what you're seeing is a slow but steady decline of these Western nations. It's a weakening of those Western nations, not a desire to continue a civilization, but a destruction of their civilizations. I think it's instructive that the president or premier of Germany, that is Angela Merkel, is childless, and that goes for just about every other leader of every major country throughout Western Europe. Same thing. You're not seeing that the leaders, the presidents of these nations, are having children themselves. They're childless, which means that they will run their nations into debt. They will implode their birth rates, and they will facilitate the destruction of their respective nations, and others will take their place. And that's what happens throughout history. Should Christ tarry, I think we're going to see a massive upset and a turnaround of worldviews in these various nations. The post-Christian humanist worldview is dead and dying. So no question about that. The post-Christian humanist worldview, which is really the apostate worldview, is dying out. And so homosexuals don't have kids. Pornography destroys society. Apostate Christian secular humanism, homosexuality, transgenderism is the dry rot that destroys whole societies. And so really, these societies are a non-issue and will be a non-issue in the years to come. The only worldviews that will matter will be the Christian worldview, the Muslim worldview, and perhaps the Buddhist worldview and a few other worldviews. But the post-Christian apostate worldview will be a non-issue shortly, because it is everything it takes. They do everything it takes to burn out the nation and destroy the socioeconomic systems. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom, a biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
We are back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn also in studio, as we consider the massive demographic shifts that are going on in the Western world and the breakdown of faith, but more importantly, the breakdown of entire socioeconomic systems. On the one hand, yes, we might have a bit of a pessimistic view of what's going on in the Western world, but we still must maintain an overall optimism, an eschatological optimism for what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. We must declare an end to the Western-centric view of Christianity, because that's depressing, and that doesn't glorify and honor Christ, our King, our Savior. Give your children a 2,000-year worldview of what is going on around the world. Give them a worldwide 2,000-year view. That's why we wrote the book, Taking the World for Jesus, as an introduction to world history that gives us a 2,000-year worldwide perspective of what Jesus Christ has done. Every tribe and nation, that's his goal. Is he pulling it off? Yes, the last 200 years has been something of a depressing view in the Western world, and Jesus was viewed as something of a failure in history, and yet it turned out to be the most successful missionary
century in the history of the world. Friends, you're depressed if you have a basically myopic Western worldview of what is going on in the whole world around us. The last 200 years, yes, it developed something of a depressing eschatology in the West, because after the Darwins, after the Ralph Waldo Emersons, after the Thoreaus and the Hawthorns and the Mark Twains, we saw the West in apostasy. And the Christians realized this. It was obvious. Since 1890, the ungodly, the atheists, the transcendentalists, the materialistic evolutionists gained almost total control of the universities across the Western world. And concomitant to that, conservative evangelical Christianity developed a pessimistic eschatology, thinking that somehow Jesus was failing in history because that the anti-Christian, post-Christian apostates had gained so much control over so many of our institutions in the 19th and 20th centuries. But that is a Eurocentric, Western-centric view of the world. It's just myopic. It's just wrong. And it could be something of a racist or a preference for a certain skin color or a certain cultural outlook. We need to reject all of that and get honest with what Jesus has done, what our Lord Jesus Christ has done by the outpouring of his Holy Spirit and his transforming, regenerating work he has accomplished in nations all over the world. Pew Research clarifies our perspective on this. Steve, I shot you a copy of this link, The Changing Global Religious Landscape, and this is encouraging. Listen to this. More babies were born to Christian mothers than to members of any other religion in recent years, reflecting Christianity's continued status as the world's largest religious group.
But you and I have certainly contributed. Yeah. You and I have contributed to that too, with 11 children between us. So yeah, it's very encouraging. But of course, it seems pretty logical if the Muslims and the anti-Christians and all of these other people are not having children, then obviously the Christians, who have been called to be fruitful and multiply, if we take God at his word, then we're going to end up having more children. So, but that's very encouraging.
If we submit ourselves to the Lord and are not governed by the selfishness and the existentialism and the birth imploding existentialism and materialism of the day, then indeed Christians will produce. But no thanks. Okay, this study, no thanks to England, no thanks to America. I'm sorry, Steve, but you and me, we can't compete with the birth rate of 1.7 amongst the average American evangelical. We can't compete with a birth implosion amongst Christian churches in England, America, and Canada. Yeah, there's a couple of us having a few more kids, but that's not the way it is in the Western world. The reason why there is a significant birth rate among Christian mothers around the world, according to the Pew Research study here, is that the relatively young Christian population of a region like sub-Saharan Africa is projected to grow in the decades ahead. The same cannot be said for Christian populations. Indeed, in recent years, Christians have had a disproportionately large share of the world's deaths, in large part because of the relatively advanced age of Christian population in some areas. This is especially true in Europe, where the number of deaths already is estimated to exceed the number of births among Christians. That is, there's a shrinking of the number of Christians in places like Germany because they're not having children. In Germany alone, for example, there were an estimated 1.4 million more Christian deaths than births between 2010 and 2015, a pattern that is expected to continue across much of Europe in the decades ahead. So the conclusion to this study is that Christian mothers are leading the world today in births. That is, the world's population continues to grow. In recent years, 33% of the world's babies were born to Christians, which is slightly greater than the Christian share of the world's population in 2015 at 31%. So that is, Christians are adding to the population by births, but that's largely the contribution of South America or sub-Saharan Africa or perhaps some areas in Asia, but certainly no thanks to Germany, no thanks to the United States, with maybe the exception of a few homeschoolers here and there. But generally speaking, it's not Christians in Europe that are contributing to this, but it is the South Saharan African contribution. The dying of the faith, friends, involves the loss of faith to have babies. And I would draw in 1 Timothy 2 to this. I know the last verse in 1 Timothy 2 is considered something of a strange verse to the modern mind. That is that women are called to be meek and quiet. They're called to not rule over men or rule in the church. But she shall be saved by childbearing. So what does this mean? Well, this means that faith exhibits itself, true sanctification, and true faith exhibits itself in the willingness for women to have children and disciple these children in the faith, despite all of the pain and suffering involved. And Steve, there is pain and suffering involved, I hear, from the raising of children. Just ask my wife on any given day, and I think you'll get the right answer.
Yeah, we have three teenagers left in our home. So, yes, there is pain and suffering.
Yeah, confirmed. Confirmed. So it turns out the dying of the faith involves the loss of faith to have babies. And there's no future in Europe where the leaders themselves aren't having any children. But, Steve, I think Islam's birth rate's going to fall as well. Hey, it's already happening in Iran. It's happening in Libya. Islam's birth rate will fall because of the accessibility to the pill and to abortifacients. It's just too strong of a temptation for a self-centered age.
Yeah, and self-centeredness is running rampant throughout the world. That's really what's being preached. That's part of the Western culture that we've passed on to lots of other places is just self-centeredness. You need to have self-esteem above everything else. So you need to feel good about yourself. And we pass that on to all of these other Eastern and Arabic blocks, and they're reaping the benefits or the tragedies of it all by imploding birth rates.
And the United Nations and the Western world is very faithful at exporting this birth imploding, self-centered, existentialistic, materialistic worldview into all of the African nations. The United Nations work very, very hard to get these Christians in sub-Saharan Africa on birth control pills. And when I spoke to some of our African brethren, to some of the African churches this last year on the subject, I couldn't believe it, Steve. The African pastors were shocked when we explained that the abortifacient in the pill would yield the death of a conceived child. They were shocked. They never heard of it. They didn't read the small print. Couldn't read the small print. It's too small.
Yeah.
On the birth control packages. But they've all been subjected, or many of them have been subjected, to the influence of the United Nations. And their women all line up for the shots or whatever they get for, that long-term effective birth control method that will most certainly result in the killing of innocent children by the millions upon millions, thanks to the abortifacient effects of these contraceptives, these high effectiveness contraceptives. And as long as the Christian church isn't there to teach on these things, as long as missionaries are not there to teach on these things and to disciple the nations to obey whatsoever Jesus has commanded, as long as the nations are not discipled on these very basic issues relating to the Christian faith, I think we're going to see birth implosions happening in Islamic nations as well as some of these Christian nations in sub-Saharan Africa as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's again, just the exporting of our Western philosophy and our Western way of things into all of these other countries, and they're buying it hook, line, and sinker.
Well, friends, I'm not thinking negatively of what's going to happen in the future. The world passes away with the lust thereof, but he who does the will of the Father abides forever. And here's one more verse that encourages me. Jesus said, on this rock, that is the testimony concerning his lordship, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have to be convinced that the church of Christ will always prevail, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and nothing else can prevail against it. You might say, well, yeah, but the existentialistic worldview, yeah, but the abortifacient contraceptive worldview that has taken down 74% of evangelical women in America will prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. No. nothing can possibly prevail against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, including in the era in which we live today, including in an era in which the powerful, powerful systems of government that fund healthcare and fund education will do their best to implode the birth rates and to minimize the probabilities of us raising our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And they will press very hard. They will press very, very hard to see that we're raising our children in the nurture and the admonition of John Dewey and Charles Darwin. But friends, by faith, we will overcome the world. By faith, we will engage the battle against these forces, these principalities and powers. And by faith, we will overcome the world. By faith, we will homeschool our children. By faith, we will exempt ourselves from the abortifacient contraceptives. By faith, we will have children and raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Can I get an amen, Steve?
Amen. It reminds me of Psalm 11 and verse 3 and 4, where it says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And here's the answer. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. That's the answer. What do the righteous do? We trust in the Lord who is in his holy temple, the Lord who is on his heavenly throne, and we trust in him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love him with everything that we are, and seek first his kingdom, delight ourselves in the Lord, and he takes care of all of the rest. We just walk by faith. It's by Amen. Faith that we must, by which we must walk this life, running on the path that he set before us with our eyes fixed on him, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Hallelujah. Amen. The only other thing I would add to this, my friends, is your children need an overall optimistic view, an overall accurate view of what Jesus Christ has done in history. Honor. I tell you, we need to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in what he has accomplished in history. We should be delighting in his kingdom, delighting in his church, delighting in the amazing accomplishment of Jesus around the whole world, every tribe and nation. And we should teach our children an overall optimistic view of what Jesus has done over 2,000 years worldwide, worldwide. And that's why Taking the World for Jesus, a resource that we created about 2 years ago, that looks at the missionary impact upon the entire world over 2,000 years, every century, every continent, with the exception of the penguins in Antarctica. Friends, you can get a copy of Taking the World for Jesus, and of course the study guide that goes with it for roughly 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders. All of that available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to keep the faith, trust in God, looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen.